Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego. But what aspect of ego? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hello, Helga.
Hi, Sherry.
what are you seeing?
Well, first, what I'm seeing is I'm always so happy when I get on and get to talk to you. It makes me very happy.
Well, good. It's making me happy, too. So this is a good deal.
Yeah. So I've been looking at, how competitiveness kind of robs me of the fun of playing and exercising, which an exercise is, you know, playing sports with other people or against other people. And one thing what I saw was that, you know, for ego, playing well and winning is it tells me the story that then I'm a worthy human being, that I'm lovable.
Whoops.
Hang
on, Helga. Ashwini, are you having trouble hearing Helga?
Can you hear me?
Yes, although you were going in and out for me, and I didn't hear Ashwini, so it could be me.
I can hear you.
Sherry, I can hear you, and I can hear Helga.
Okay, it was me then. All right, here we go. Let's try it again.
Yeah, so for ego, winning is equivalent of, me being a worthy human being and lovable. But on the flip side, I can't be too competitive because that is also not good. So in some ways, what I felt like, it's like, driving with the brakes on.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not allowed to just completely, give my all and go all in, and wanting to win, because that's also not really people won't like that.
Uh-huh. It really is a tricky line, isn't it? Because if you win all the time, that's going to make other people unhappy or resentful or whatever. But if you don't win all the time, it's going to make ego unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's just in that scenario, there's just really no winning. And I saw that.
Right.
I saw that with one of the kids. In the way that he was conditioned, it was really very, very similar. And he now oftentimes gets injuries. I think that's that's like a way of him coping with these double messages that he should be winning and he should go all out. But on the other hand, he really shouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What an interesting possibility.
Yeah. So kind of crazy making.
Well, it kind of is, and when you said that, I just, it just dropped into wonder about illnesses. Oftentimes people will talk about when they get a cold, when it shows up, either at the end of a really big project, they've made a huge effort, and then they get sick. Or they're getting ready to do something. They've worked really hard and they're going to have a vacation and they get sick. So I wonder about broader implications of what you're seeing with that. Yeah, because otherwise, how do we deal with those messages? Except, of course, to realize that needing ego's standards is not what we want to spend our lives trying to do.
Right. Yeah, and so because, for me, I think, go ahead. Yes.
Well, it's just that winning does not make you the right person and does not make you lovable.
Exactly. Right? So that's, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So the question, you know, it's like for me was, you know, it's like to really understand that winning and having and being worthy has nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
So that the performance and the lovability are complete, you know, two separate things. They have nothing to do with each other. So
yeah,
I think that's what
and
I need to call.
And the message that gets lost in there is doing our best, being wholehearted, giving it our all. That's
yeah.
what we learn early on is not enough. But as grown-ups, we realize, oh yeah, that is the whole point is being wholehearted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Well, that's a lot to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Go happy.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Thanks, Olga. It seems to me, Sherry, that however that message gets translated for us as a process, we see it everywhere, right? That is what ego does, which is...
Yeah. Yeah.
Correlate, put
the
things together.
I was excited about seeing that in what Helga said. The implications for that are just huge. They're the application, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That two things that are not related are always put together.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a natural sort of conditioned process. And it always has to do with performance and value, because we do get rewarded when our behaviors are in accordance with whatever the external standards of approval are. And the conclusion, therefore, is that's what makes me lovable, and that it really takes a lot of presence and practice to recognize that those two things have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. When you're describing that, I saw dog training. You know, no wonder we train dogs the way we train them. We train them exactly the way we were trained.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we don't ever.
Go ahead.
Well, fortunately, I was going to say, we don't tell them that they don't have any doubts about whether they're lovable or not, even though we train them that way.
Yes, I hope that. They don't assume anything about who they are inherently, which is definitely what we get.
Yes.
Yeah. Just that deep assumption that just as you are is really not enough.
Mm. Yeah, and the implications of that, as you said, is just huge.
Intense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hi, it's Hello. Todd calling. Hi.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Asanga.
What are you saying?
Oh, what a rush of adrenaline when you get called upon. I'm seeing how conditioning it does that with sensations in the body. And I'm seeing very similar to an earlier call this week or maybe it was late last week, where it was two sides of duality. You're doing too much fitness, you're going to hurt the body, or you're not doing enough, you're getting out of shape.
You're going to hurt the body.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes to the same place, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And
happily, for ego, in either case, it's your fault.
Right.
So
yeah.
You're doing it wrong, and you're wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a recently purchased a year membership at the gym because it talked me out of it last year. They had 3, 6, 9, 12 month memberships, and it talked me out of joining again. I don't know how it talked me out of it, but this year I made a commitment for a year just to have that. It's like our year-long retreat. We make a commitment, and then we just keep showing up. And that's what I found out with the gym is if I make a yearly commitment and there's monthly payments, I'm very encouraged to honor that commitment.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that it's too bad. But again, it you know, I just think of the dog training. You know,
right.
That's just it. You know, yeah. what we're trained out of is presence.
Yes.
Right? That I'm trained that if I don't have all of this set up and a reason to do it, then ego's ability to influence me will be greater than my ability to be present, and there we are. Which, you know, it's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, whatever it takes to get us to show up as we practice that. But just breaking down that belief. So yes, I am trained in that way, and yes, I do need these crutches to. I was talking with people about that at the recent retreat with antidepressants. You know, take whatever you need to take. Do whatever you need to do on the way to not needing crutches.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And what kept dropping in for me around this was it's like a practice principle. I'll paraphrase it. Is do more than ego says you should. And
you can.
Or you can, and then a little less than ego says you should.
Yes.
And when I'm when I'm involved in fitness, I kind of, you know, listen for that. We're talking about it, I think, on open air last night. That still small voice is, you know, when is the body had enough? Like when is that weight too heavy, or when is that, you know, aerobic session enough? Not enough, but when it feels like the body is, oh, great, yeah, I feel good now, and we can move on to whatever is next.
Yes. And so, again, it's the whole point of it is to be present with the human being.
Right.
That's the whole point, not to get bigger biceps or not even to improve cardiovascular fitness, right? It's to be present with the human being.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, present with the human being, and therefore engage in activities that move the body, that allows this being to be, you know, functional in just everyday life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which, of course, is part of our modern lifestyle. Right? I mean, forever with human beings, just living. Kind of, you've spent a lot of time in the monastery, so it's being a monk. You know, you are physically fit simply because your lifestyle demands that you are, and it provides it. But so many of us are now removed from that kind of lifestyle. So we have to do extra things to make sure that we get the kind of, again, I go back, I quote Jennifer, I hope it's Jennifer, if not, somebody will tell me, but the fitness for my life, you know, you're looking for the fitness for your life. You know the things that you do and that you want to do and that you want to be able to do going forward. And so that's the focus. It's taking care of God. It's making him fit to be able to do everything he chooses to do.
Yes. Yes, and I agree with you. I mean, I have spent quite a bit of time in the monastery, and there's no greater fitness program than just daily living at the monastery. There, I arrived at the gym.
Whoops.
I have not used again.
But I lost you.
No.
Go back to say that sentence again. So living at the monastery, and then you said something.
Yeah, I say I arrived at the monastery feeling I'm pretty fit, and then within a week I realize, wow, there are a lot of muscles I have not used in just the daily schedule at the monastery. It's quite healing, and and to carry that that mind, you know, that practice of like you said. And I remember you talking to quite a while ago. I think it was on Open Air that, you know, to come to the monastery, we really do, or for everyday life, we really do have, as we get older, I'm nearing my 60th, is that we actually have to do more to keep maintenance rather than less.
Just backwards from what ego wants us to believe.
Yeah,
every decade,
so backwards.
We need to do more.
I agree. I've noticed that.
All right.
Great.
Thank you,
Todd. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Okay.
Thanks, Sandra.
Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Todd.
Go happy.
And Sherry, what I was seeing in that conversation is how much ego is an end state rather than a process. And so I'm always fascinated by the process pattern of things, right? Because once we understand a pattern, we can really be present to where we are with it, rather than listen to a conversation and believe that we're not where we're supposed to be. I mean, it's a kind of a contradiction, but it's an intelligence thing, right? So I do something, I bring awareness to it, and that awareness allows me to have a curiosity about the standard that I'm trying to work with and recognize my karma around it. And then there's the process of calibrating to presence in it, and how does life tailor itself into each moment? And that is a structure. That is a structure within a process. And it's so interesting to start to see those patterns of transition and training arcs, because it's so helpful.
Well, yes, and what you're describing is taking the focus of attention off of ego and becoming interested in life and how life works. As long as we're in that conversation with ego about, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? What can I do? What can't I? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? What does this say about me? Then that's just a loop that, as we endlessly point out, the content changes, the process never does. So taking the focus of attention off of that, as you're describing, and putting it on how all of this works is much more interesting.
It is. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Ken from Morgan Hill.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing?
What
this
you
is
doing?
My first time calling in.
I know it is. Welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you. I guess I don't see fitness per se as a big issue for me, because I get in my work landscaping, I get a lot of exercise, and I also do ballroom dancing. But what I do see is that my biggest karmic drive is hurry up and get it done and get to the next thing, which keeps me in my head.
So your body does all of these things. So far, fortunately, it's able to do them on its own, because you're not really there with it. Right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cases, of course, that's a real setup for kind of the irony there is, too, if you actually want to get it done quicker, you want to be present to what you're doing.
Isn't that the God's truth? Yeah.
You know, so.
Hurry up and get through it. It's really a recipe for it taking way longer.
Forgetting this, forgetting that, not having the right tool, not paying attention to maybe messing something up and having to redo it. I can remember this going back probably to sometime in my teenage years where it really kind of took over, where my response to that was, okay, just work harder, work faster, do it better, do it more efficiently, stay up longer, go without sleep, you know, to try and get these all this stuff done. Of course, as you get older, that doesn't work out so well. Of course, it led to drinking and smoking and tons of coffee and, you know, so going through that past and then getting past all that. So.
So what you're pointing out for all of us is that it, being in that relationship with ego is what leads us to a lot of bad choices and lack of success, right? Because staying in that same karmic loop kept you from being able to make the choices for yourself and to pay attention in a way that would have allowed you to actually accomplish more.
Yes, exactly. And so I guess with the fitness focus for this month, I've kind of like trying to, with some of the recommendations I've heard on the show, kind of like, where are you now? Just kind of, what are you thinking about now? And kind of see where I am so I get back in the body and and be with that. And one of the things that really went past a real belief system the last month or so was working with clients. And when a client approaches me or when I'm going over anything with a client, just getting fully in the body and fully present, because there'll be a belief system. Oh, they're going to, you know, want to know about this, or they're going to give me a problem with this, or some, you know, just the voices start going crazy. And if I just like talk to them and then say, well, what do you think? And how would you do this? Or just, you know, take a totally different approach. Oh, it saves so many problems.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Isn't that...
But the belief system doesn't support that, but the reality does. The experience does.
This is where in Zen we talk about choosing our beliefs over our experience.
And what
what you're learning to do is choose your experience over the ego's belief system, right? That being present, being open, being engaged gets you way more of what the heart wants than being caught in that.
And it's really taking me some real retraining, but I just have to remember that last time I was present and really fully, you know, with the client or whatever the situation was, it worked out better, no matter what you say.
Yes.
Talking about
my
head, of course.
That's right. Right. And with that, to go, you know, back over some of the other things, taking the 2 or 3 minutes to be present when you're getting ready to go to the job, to let life drop in the tools that you are going to need, the things that you are going to want to remember, those are the transition points where the voices in the head want to distract us completely to make sure that you get to that job and you have forgotten to bring the whatever it was or forgotten to call whomever or set whatever that is up so that it feeds that belief system. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the other big thing I kind of saw was also being present and just on the fitness aspect, kind of remembering some of the things I learned from Krista in yoga and stuff like that, like lengthening the body, feeling what your body is feeling. And it really helps, you know, prevent injuries or deal with old injuries or, help the movement, especially with the dancing and stuff like that. I find that the more that I'm really with that, the quicker I learn the new steps or whatever also. So.
Yes, because the body knows how.
It's the head
that doesn't know what the body needs, although God knows it wants us to believe it does.
So I do this practice because the experience and the beliefs are just totally different animals.
Yes, yes, they are. Well, thank you, Ken. Great to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Have a great day. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken. Sure, we seem to have time for one more caller, so here we go.
Oh,
next
good.
Caller, you're All now right. live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Oh, I was just doing some exercises.
Oh, very good.
What I've been looking at is, for me, I'm also one of those people who loves to move and loves to be active, have had a lot of issues with chronic pain and injuries and not able to move in a way that I'd like. You know, it's funny, I can like feel emotion coming up just talking about it now, you know. That was kind of came up about what I'd need to let go of is sort of the parallel life I feel like I should be living, where I'm active and I get to, you know, do sports and all that kind of stuff. But,
Which, let me see if this is your experience. So I am able to do what I'm able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than getting to enjoy that, I'm living in a conversation about what I could be doing or should be doing. If my life were different, the experience that I would be having. Is that it?
Yeah. Like, I'm at the gym, and I'm sort of, like, carefully doing my aqua aerobics and my whatever, and I'm like, and my friend is over in the, like, high-intensity interval training, you know, like, and that kind of comparison or, you know.
Yes. Which argues for not going to the gym with your friend.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I'm going curious. With the friend. It's more just like she'll tell me about it, and you know, it's like, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. But maybe
not going with that comparison in mind.
That's exactly right, because that's all that's happening.
Yeah.
And Laura, you know that what you're going through. I'm going to phrase it this way. It's a dangerous way to phrase it, but I'm going to do it anyway. It seems real to you. But it's actually not. It's no different than what everybody else is experiencing. It's just that it has the ability to convince you that it is. Okay? And what I mean by that is that there may be just a whole world full of happy, healthy, exuberant human beings living the perfect life. I don't happen to run into them. That could be me, okay? But the human beings that I know all have something. There's something that enables ego to put them in that position of you can't really enjoy this because. And that's the whole point of it. You can't really enjoy this because, and then the story comes in that takes us out of where we are, where we could in fact be enjoying life, and takes us into that imaginary world of ego. And that's the whole point of it. Can you see that?
Yeah, I've had that thought sometimes when, like, the comparison story gets going at the gym or something, and it's like, oh, look at that person. They're just healthy and happy, and, you know, it's like judging other people's, what is it, judging, don't judge other, judge my insides by other people's outsides. Because for a lot of people, I look, you know, people probably look at me and are like, you know, they don't know.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if you were a quadriplegic and you could be in that pool doing the water aerobics that you can do now, hopefully that person would be ecstatic.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the part that we lose sight of, and that's the part I think, I don't know if this is really true, but that's what limits us. So not only do I not get to enjoy what I can do, but it keeps me stuck doing less than I might be able to do. Not from a pushed place, but just from a, what we attend to grows, and what we enjoy, we tend to, when we attend to it, enjoy more. So what we're growing in that you can't, attending to you can't, is less. And when we're attending to enjoying what we have, we're growing more. And that's a scientific principle that we really want to learn to apply to our lives.
Yeah, and what I was just seeing is I think that what is actually so painful is that what my heart really wants is just the wholeheartedness and of being able to move, and what's so painful is that I'm stuck in the fear, oh God, you're going to hurt yourself, oh God, what's the right thing to do place.
Yep,
But it's true, like a month ago I was like having knee issues and it was like, oh God, this is forever, and just forget water aerobics. And now all of a sudden I'm like, wait, it's only been a month, and I think I could probably go back to aqua aerobics, you know.
yes, exactly. Exactly so. And that's the attitude. So yesterday I took my little bike out, and I was riding around, and I jacked up my knee, okay? And so now this knee gets all my attention because we're going to rehab. There's not any this is forever. What do you need, knee? What do you need? You've got all our attention. What do you need? It's going to be 100% in no time flat, because that's what happens with us when we have that kind of unconditional love and support.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
I see you there in the pool. happily going. All right. Okay. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura and Sherry. That brings us to the end of another fabulous show, and here's our assignment. The karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. For example, the conversation says, I don't want to do what would allow me to be fit because I don't enjoy it and I don't have time for it. That stops me from looking for ways to be fit that I would enjoy and would happily find time for. Assignment. What is the answer that is revealed to you by the karmic conversation? RL, what you see.
All right. Very exciting. Thank
Very
you.
Very exciting.
Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.